Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude with bad news, and the only person who doesn't have viral meningitis. And I'm welcoming my co-host, writer, movie fan, wrestling fan, and third man in an epic TLC 3-on-5 tag team match tonight, Tony Hoffman.
Tender love and care.
Yep. Yeah, it seems that quite a lot of people need tender love and care in the WWE locker room this week. But anyway.
Is Roman Reigns hurt, or does he have the viral meningitis or whatever?
He has meningitis. Because I guess like Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, and JoJo, the announcer, all like gave it to each other. And somehow Roman got in that mix too. I don't want to speculate as to how. But, you know, things get passed around in the locker room. Sometimes people do. But yeah, how's your week going, Tony?
Pretty good. NBA season started this week. Watched some basketball, including some bad Bulls basketball last night. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Bad Bulls about basketball. That. It's the only kind that's worth watching.
Baseball. The World Series is all set. Unfortunately, the Cubs won't be a part of it this year. They lost their series on Thursday, so I won't be watching.
So the race to repeat is now over.
It's now over.
See that I recently heard about a podcast where. Forget what team the guy originally rooted for, but he decided to give up on his team, his baseball team, and he was interviewing like fans of every other team in the league, trying to have them convince him to join their bandwagon. Yes. Yes, it's a weird concept, but I thought it was interesting, just with a slight slant, that I should start a podcast series where people try to sell me on sports. Like I have one person talk to me about baseball, another person about football, basketball, etc.
Why would anybody care if you like sports or not?
Why does anybody care if you like their team? There's people like, who responded to these interview requests, so maybe there's somebody out there. I feel like my brother would probably be the guy to go for all sports because he like watches everything, even watches hockey. Like the only black person I know who watches hockey even when the Blackhawks aren't winning.
I was thinking about going to the Bulls game last night, but I'm very glad I didn't. It looks like the tickets may be pretty cheap this year, just judging off of their play in the first two games.
Well, that's an upside.
Yeah, you got players punching each other and being suspended.
Yeah, didn't that one player like break the other guy's jaw, or what was the deal?
Bobby Portis and Nikolai Mirotic.
Yeah, like from my limited knowledge, I don't hear about too many like injuries off the court. Like, oh, this guy got injured because they fought with his teammate. Now he's not going to be able to play. So that's an interesting development.
So it's like one is hurt for 2 weeks, another one's suspended. So it's two players on your roster.
Yeah, for off-court shenanigans. So that's always fun.
How was your week?
It was pretty okay. I went and finally saw Happy Death Day. So that was the highlight of the week.
What's your quick critique of it? Did you hate it? Did you love it?
It's one of the more fun horror movies that I've ever seen. A lot of people complain, like, the one thing I've seen in a few reviews I've watched, like people liked it. They enjoyed how funny it was. They thought it was a clever twist on the Groundhog Day type story.
Doesn't sound like it's a very scary. Sound like it's a horror movie.
Yeah, that was the main complaint, that in terms of horror movies, like most people were angry about the lack of gore. And like, sure, if the deaths could have been bloodier, but like, and in terms of being scary, I don't know how you could really do that. If you see the same girl get killed 16 times, you can't be scared every time. Like, I feel like the first time was pretty effective. Like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And the second time, it's different because she tries to avoid it and still somehow finds its way to her. So it's like, it's more of an adventure than a horror movie. Like, there's only so many jump scares.
You or advertising and marketing. Yeah.
I feel like that last commercial with the 50 Cent song in it, that sold me on what it actually was. And that's what actually made me want to see it. To just repeating, like, go, go, it's your birthday. And they made it seem like that was her ringtone on her phone. But in the actual movie, I guess they couldn't get the rights to in the club. So they had this very annoying 50 Cent approximation. Yeah. The song that they did use was like, hey, it's your birthday. Ain't gonna pick up the phone. And they would just repeat
that. Generic knockoff.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, in storyline sense, it didn't really make sense because, like, that's the first thing she hears as she wakes up. You think it's an alarm, but it's just her dad calling. And she, like, this, as the story progresses, she's mad that people found out it was her birthday. But, like, why do you have a ringtone on your phone that says, it's your birthday? I'm like, okay, whatever. It's continuity.
So without working. Spoiling the ending, how she gets out of it, like, what did you, were you surprised at how it resolved itself? Was it clever enough for you?
Yeah, I liked it. There was a misdirect towards the end that I, like, because I was totally ready to be like, okay, all right, case closed. And then something else happens. I'm like, oh, all right. And it was a clever way to, like, double down, even though it wasn't like a killer who'd been dropped out of a 5-story building jumping up at the last minute. It's a way to do that type of thing without doing that exactly. So I enjoyed it. So it was I was very generous with my rating. I gave it 4.5 out of 5 baby masks. Would see again. Would buy on DVD. I enjoyed it.
Well, if I am going to see any movie in the next, before this upcoming Friday, would probably be that one because
The
movies that came out this week was incredibly weak.
Yeah, what was this week in terms of releases?
Oh, you have your favorite guy, Tyler Perry, with his Madea is insulting women, homosexual drag. Films.
I mean, it's his way to live his truth without people actually knowing that.
It appears that way.
It's his best self. Oh, there was in my repeated efforts to promote the Netflix cartoon Big Mouth, there is a funny Tyler Perry joke in one episode, because there's like this funny poster in a movie theater that's called Atlanta Claus, and it's just Madea in a Santa Claus suit. But the poster starts talking to one of the characters and says, Merry Christmas. Have you been nerdy or have you been nurse? I just thought it was very stupid, but it was very true to Tyler Perry form. I'm very Perry nerdy. Anymore.
Well, that's your number one movie with 21 million.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
A lot of ironic ticket sales, I assume.
It was that in the Geostorm, the piece of shit movie from the people that brought us Independence Day starring Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
That looked horrible.
Like, we've created this weather system to control the weather all across the world. Nothing will go wrong. Sure.
I don't think audiences believe Gerard Butler as some sort of a genius astronaut, weather expert, or whatever the fuck he's supposed to be.
Yeah, nah. I'm not buying it. Like, if they were doing it the Armageddon route and just said, I'm a miner who's going to fly, who's going to learn to be an astronaut and go
baller guys,
yeah. I'm just going to blow up a meteorite or an asteroid, I guess. Then that would have been believable, but it, like, I've got 5 PhDs and I'm going to save the world from this weather catastrophe. Maybe not the right casting for that.
A movie that did have some good casting and a good director with a pedigree was The Snowman with Michael Fassbender and I guess the guy who directed one of the more recent Oscar nominated Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Okay. That movie did not get good reviews.
Well, so okay, about The Snowman, I was like, I was misdirected when I saw the title and then I checked out the trailer. I was like, okay, I get where the name comes into play, but it's like, I was expecting like a revision of Jack Frost, like,
yes, exactly,
Killer Snowman. But
they brought that cheesy horror movie with like Elizabeth, Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie, and she gets killed in the shower by the snowman that like bashes her into the wall and she like bludgeons her to death. I think that was like one of the,
yeah, I think there's a couple of like Jack Frost type movies. And there was also like, in another slight tangent, that reminds me of like, there was one like evil Santa Claus movie with Goldberg where he was just going around killing people in a Santa outfit. But,
yeah. Not the Michael Keaton family movie where he dies.
Yeah, that was the friendly Jack Frost. That was
scary looking.
Yeah, that was the other misdirected movie. Like, hey, I'm used to my Jack Frost being a murderous snowman, not this family crap.
Could you imagine if like some family member, some parental unit dies and then comes back as a fucking snowman? I'd be terrified.
Like, number one, I'd be like, what the hell? Who built a snowman on my property? Because I didn't build this thing. And then before I would realize it was a loved one, I'd probably have drop kicked its head off. So like, oh, sorry, Grandma.
Michael Fassbender's character in The Snowman is named Harry Hole.
Harry Holmes?
Harry Hole.
Hole? Wow. Okay. That was a very thinly veiled sophomoric joke. Why would anybody?
I don't think that it was meant to be. Harry? I don't think that it was meant to be like a joke or some innuendo. His name is literally Harry Hole.
But it's not based on a real person, right?
No.
Harry Hole. Like, it sounds like one of those double entendres they would use during, like, the alien invasion sketch with Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live. Because she's like, I have my grassy knoll and my gassy hole poking out. So yeah. Harry Hole would just be another one of those.
I don't think the screenwriter is self-aware or...
Yeah,
doesn't have as filthy of a mind as most people.
I mean, that you don't even have to have a filthy mind. It's not even like slightly dirty, like newscaster Dick Johnson. It's like, no, yeah. Harry Hole. Like, is that even a name? Anyway, enough about this movie that nobody saw, apparently.
Exactly. So this we're all just waiting for Thor Ragnarok and then Justice League 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, I'm so waiting for Justice League. I'm just gonna get my popcorn and get my ticket and sit there and prepare for epicness. I sure am.
Yeah, more quips in this one.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
What's your superpower? I'm rich.
I'm
rich. 1% humor. The best.
The best. Well, are you going to be watching The Walking Dead tonight, I assume? I won't be, but...
I will. I've made the mistake of trying to catch up with Fear the Walking Dead in preparation for this. I mean, I didn't necessarily need to, but, like, my wife is kind of a completionist, so she was like, we should try to finish this.
And I was like, force ourselves to watch this shitty show.
I was like, all right, well, let's start it, and let's just play them back to back. And I realized we had 11 episodes to catch up on.
Like, 1 hour each.
Yeah, I mean, about 40 minutes with commercials cut out. A couple of hour and 20 minute episodes sprinkled in there.
Yeah, so yeah, they even out.
Yeah, so I'm about halfway there. So we got about 5 episodes.
And it has no bearings on the events of The Walking Dead. So why would you even bother?
Well, there's supposed to be somebody crossing over. I don't know if it's in the premiere or anything like that, but there is somebody supposed to be coming from Fear the Walking Dead into the Walking Dead universe.
Takes place before the Walking Dead.
Yes, this person's going to be old and haggard. They're probably going to be missing a limb or two from the last time we saw them. But that transition may bring more interest. One thing
I'll
say
about...
What do you
think is going to die in the premiere, Zach?
Somebody who I wouldn't be able to name off the top of my head, but who was a significant enough character where I would notice that they got cast on another show. So there you go.
Have you been paying attention to pilots and mid-season replacements?
No, but I just know, Ooh. Like, in terms of, like, okay, Sasha got a new job, so I guess she's not going to survive this finale. That's usually the indicator. Because I know the main star from the show, the now-defunct show, Grimm, people were asking him at one of these, like, premiere events, back when the show was still on, they were like, oh, do you think your character Nick's mother is going to come back? Because even though she was decapitated, but this is like a magical show, so possible. But he was like, well, here's a hint. She just got a high-profile casting on CBS, so I don't think she's coming back. Yeah, I was like, all right.
She booked a part.
Yeah. But, yeah, the one thing I'll say about Fear the Walking Dead is not that the show is bad. It's just that there's nobody to root for because your main...
It was bad.
Well, not that, like, I don't care about any of these people, therefore I'm not rooting for them. The main character is actually a villain. It's basically like if you followed a blonde female Negan in their story, that's how they lost their humanity.
Why would I want to watch
turned, Yeah, it's basically like a white woman traveling through Mexico and exercising her white privilege to be like, you know, thank you for taking me in and saving me from these zombies. Now I'm going to take over your property. It's basically what happens
horrible.
Every time. So it's Manifest Destiny, the series. So if that excites you, then tune in to Fear the Walking Dead.
Where were we last left when we last saw The Walking Dead last year, Zach, with the
Sasha with the aid of Donny Hathaway had just committed suicide, and she made basically the first shot in the war between the saviors and everybody else. So war has begun.
War. So instead of like trying to like fend off zombies and survive, this is humans fighting against other humans.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the core of the show, really. When you break it down, the zombies are just a nuisance at this point. It's just like the World War was going on, but there were a bunch of bears in the middle of the battlefield. It's just like,
I think that's a poor analogy.
Like, the bears are just in the way. We're just going to shoot through them at our enemies. Maybe deer is more appropriate for
neither.
The threat level
it's like
of zombies at this point.
This disease that everyone's been affected with that will immediately befall you when you die. Loved ones being turned into...
Yeah, when allied forces get shot, they'll turn into bears.
Jesus.
That would have built more interest, like, if they just... switched it up and was like,
yeah, I
would
have watched
it.
Certainly be more interesting than it is now.
Like, how could this happen? They were damn near extinct. Now they're taking over. We're all turning into bears. We all have it. This porridge is too cold. Anyway.
Have you been watching any of the annual Halloween programming that befalls television this time of the year?
No, I haven't even seen... the David S. Pumpkin special. Has that aired yet?
No.
That's the only one I'm looking forward to.
That's the only one that you... this thing that was barely like a sketch.
Yeah.
That's been turned into an animated special because NBC is so like greedy and desperate for any like programming and buzz.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, it went viral. Whether it's good viral or bad viral, it happened. I listened to an interview.
There is a such thing as bad viral. I mean,
yeah, like AIDS.
AIDS.
Yeah. There was another joke on Big Mouth. It was like, what do you mean AIDS is bad viral? You mean the most popular autoimmune deficiency disease in history? Like, yeah, sure. I guess that's a plus. But like, I was listening to an interview with Tom Hanks, on NPR, and he was talking about the fact that somebody only knew who Laurence Olivier was from like a Kodak commercial that he did. It was like, maybe some people in the future will only know me as David S. Pumpkins. I was like, well, I guess if you want to have some kind of legacy in the future, then this isn't the worst thing to have.
Very depressing.
I mean, it's better than being known as like a teen mom from MTV or something.
Really?
Yeah.
These
people want to dress up as David S. Pumpkins. People don't want to dress up as teen moms unless it's like super ironic at a hipster Halloween party. But yeah, so yeah.
You haven't caught up on A Nightmare Before Christmas or Hocus Pocus or
I haven't seen either of those since I saw them at the theater. Like,
oh really?
I'm not really. I don't tend to go back and watch movies again. It's like a tradition. I think I've only had like a handful of movies I've done that with, like Friday. I had a period in high school where I was watching that like every week.
Every Friday.
Yeah. I would watch Coming to America over and over again. One weird selection that became a rotating movie for me was Bulletproof with Damian Wayans and Adam Sandler.
So what you're telling me is that you just watch the same three movies repeatedly.
No.
You mentioned these films on multiple episodes.
No, but if I'm looking at any movies that I've ever watched more than once, those are the only ones that I can think of. As a few of the Marvel movies I've watched again, but like I don't have like holiday tradition movies that I'll watch. Like, oh, I'm going to watch this such and such Christmas movie or this horror movie.
You don't watch Home Alone or Home Alone 2?
No.
Christmas.
I don't even think I've ever seen Home Alone 3. For that matter,
I think most people would agree.
Yeah, so it's just like I'm not super nostalgic, but my limited options are those. Like, I was watching, I'm trying to think. I would sometimes watch half of A Christmas Story on Christmas because it was just on, but it wasn't it wasn't like a thing that I set out to do.
Do you own any DVDs or Blu-rays?
Yeah, I have a bunch, but I'd never pull them out. The dust is it's probably
still
like 2 inches
left.
Thick. Some of them probably are. I have Family Guy for some reason right in front of me. I'm looking at the DVDs on this case underneath the screen here. I'm sure 28 Days Later is in there somewhere. I really enjoyed that movie. But yeah, I don't buy any movies currently on DVD because what's the point?
To watch them when you want to?
Yeah, you can also watch them in an easier method than like dusting off this disc, putting it in, and pushing.
Why does it have to be dusty?
Because they are. I mean,
yours are.
Yeah, I mean the ones upstairs aren't, but I am in a basement and it doesn't. Yeah, exactly. Get the care that it deserves, especially on the DVD shelf. So
but I see your point to an extent, because like if it's on like Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah.
But you know, like sometimes they go away after.
Sometimes they go away, but if you go to iTunes and you want to rent a movie just to watch it,
you
got to
pay for it.
Yeah, but you're paying like, if you want to own it forever on DVD, you're paying like $15-$20. Like,
exactly.
If you rent it,
you never have to rent it again.
Yeah, but you could
watch it anytime you want to.
Yeah, but you could rent it for like $2. So what, you have to watch it 10 times before you get to the price of what you get this physical copy. Like, that's not a bad trade-off. Because I'm not, even though I love Coming to America, if I want to think about the next 10 times that I'm going to watch it, that's going to be within the next like 30 years. So actually, I think I already have Coming to America.
Commentaries or behind the scenes stuff?
For certain movies, like for comedies, I do. And like, I would say I would be interested in like extra features for like Marvel DVDs, but I've never like gone into any of those to check them out. And that is the one thing I wish would be available, like on VOD or something like that, where you can look at the extra scenes or whatever they put on the DVDs. But, you know, it's not a big enough selling point for me. I do like the packages where they have like extra stuff that comes with it. Those interest me more, like those metal cases or whatever.
I have the Civil War metal case that came out, the Iron Man and Captain America DVD.
So that's cool. I mean, is there anything in it, or is it just like the packaging? Because sometimes they come with extra stuff.
Sure. It's the Blu-ray, the DVD version, and I think on the Blu-ray it has all of the extras and the bloopers and like the director commentaries and all that stuff, and like the deleted scenes.
So are there any notable deleted scenes that would enhance the story that you noticed?
No.
Okay. Well, you just proven my point. I mean, the case is nice, but some of the other stuff is unnecessary. Like, I was, like, because my mom was an avid DVD collector. Well, VHS collector, then DVD collector. And, like, she pretty much has a wall of DVDs in her living room. So, like, now that I think about it, my detachment from physical media is probably, like, my lashing out against that, because I was born in a house on a pile of VHS tapes.
What are you going to do if you don't have any internet access?
I have a lot of stuff just on hard drives. I'm pretty set. Plus, I'm not averse to listening to the radio. If I, like, pull out my phone, plug in a headphone, put it on speaker, I can listen to radio. I mean, that's if I didn't have power at all, but I can pull out one of these old DVDs or whatever. I'm okay. Like, I have enough DVDs that it'll be a novelty. It'd be like, oh, hey, I got Clueless. Let's watch that.
You got Clueless?
Yeah. I enjoy Clueless. Like, yeah, everybody I knew who liked
Clueless. I'm just sort of surprised that you owned it on DVD.
Well, I think that's my wife's copy, but, uh-huh. Like, we have combined our collections together. Because I think we each came to the relationship with a copy of 28 Days Later. I was like, that's how I know we're soulmates. We both love this weird zombie movie. So, enough about that. Let's talk about something related to movies. Have you ever, if this was a thing... And it should be a thing, because Hollywood needs to listen to this podcast and take this idea into advisement. Now, there are always, every so often, there are these, like, serials based on, like, popular franchises or whatever. They should combine those serials and have, like, a DVD copy of the movie inside the box. And then that would get people to buy them, because a lot of times these serials end up being overpriced anyway. So you could just throw in a disc in there.
Well, not if it's like the Batman v Superman serial that like is discounted.
It was after the movie. Because it was horrible. It was like, number one, the discount was for two reasons. Number one, the movie got such mixed reviews. Being generous, it was mixed. So people were like, you know, I'm not going to buy this crappy serial that's a spinoff from this crappy movie. And then number two, the serial tasted like shit.
I looked at it like on display at like Jewels, and I'm like, because it reminded me of another cereal. It was basically just,
there were like, the Batman cereal was just like Cocoa Puffs in the shape of Batman's symbol, I think it was. Yeah. But it wasn't like, it was like a puffy version of the Batman symbol. But and then the Superman cereal was like cinnamon logos. Yeah, cinnamon puffs in the with the shape of the triangle of Superman. It wasn't even S-shaped, it was like the Superman, the outer symbol. So like both of them suck in their own way.
Like, I hate Cocoa Puffs and I hate Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Like the cinnamon one was the worst, because like it took me like 3 months to get through that box,
and you could have thrown it in the garbage the first time you had it. You have to force it down your gullet.
I don't like to waste food. There's just people starving all around the world. So I want to.
So you're going to make yourself sick?
Yeah. I mean, some people get sick from not eating food. So I'd rather get sick with a full stomach.
That makes sense.
The Batman cereal was tolerable because it at least gave you chocolate milk after the end of that subpar cereal. But the Superman was like, I don't want cinnamon milk. This sucks. But there's a list of cereals I found based on popular franchises that I thought was interesting. The most recent example on this list is Strawberry Sniggles, which is it's a very obscure joke from Rick and Morty from one of their interdimensional cable episodes where they're just flipping through these channels from these weird cable companies.
And did somebody actually make that? Is that actually a licensed available cereal, or is this just something some fan
created? The thing with some of these are like the more obscure ones, like the most recent ones I can think of that are like not for the broad American general consumer public, those end up at FYE.
Yeah.
So,
like novelty.
Yeah. So it's more of a almost like a collectible item and not really a cereal product. It's like, you want this box, don't you? Yeah. So buy it along with these pop figures. Cause like New Day, WWE tag team, the New Day.
You get those at a Comic-Con.
Yeah. But the Bootios were originally first available at FYE. And that's the same for, Strawberry Sniggles, which is just a dumb joke. It's just a dumb take off of Lucky Charms. Like, oh, nobody's going to get their hands on my Strawberry Sniggles. I'm going to eat them up and then they're going to be in my stomach and nobody will be able to have them. And I love the, like, all their little skits during the interdimensional cable. They were clearly ad-libbed because people were just like stumbling and they just kept going. It was like, and then nobody's going to be able to eat them because they'll be in my stomach. And then like these kids attack the leprechaun and cut him open and squeeze his entrails into to get the cereal out. But
did you ever grab a box of Urkels
I don't even think I ran into those in the store, and I'm glad I didn't, because
that box puts a smile on my face. You can get a free campaign button, Urkel for president.
Like, really? So that's that one. Like, most of these are only, I think the only value in them is the box itself. It's like, I would like to have a display of these cereal boxes, but I don't think I want to eat what's inside. There's like many examples, like from the 80s specifically, like there's E.T. cereal, Gremlins cereal.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters. That's a pretty obvious one. There's a Barbie cereal. Breakfast with Barbie, it's called.
Barbie doesn't eat.
No.
Well, she does eat, but she
barfs it up. This Breakfast with Barbie looks like the box is interesting. It looks like a YA novel from the 80s. There's some kind of Prince of Thieves cereal.
Oh yeah, the Kevin Costner classic.
I don't even know if this is directly tied to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, because the animation just looks like it's from some kind of novel.
It's the year that the movie came out, so I assume I don't know if it's like officially licensed.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of like off-brand Prince of Thieves cereal. Like, who wants to eat cereal inspired?
Oh, you get a free movie poster inside.
I guess so. I guess it is officially licensed. There you go. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. What about Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
That would have been. I'd buy that.
Put Dave Chappelle on the cover of a cereal box. That would have been entertaining. The Spider-Man cereal. That's one of the few that I would be like, you know what, I'm going to grab that. Because I was all about Spider-Man as a kid.
Not Disney's Mona?
Moana. A lot of controversy about Moana in terms of people think the Halloween costume for Moana is cultural appropriation. So people are very mad about that. So, yeah. There's a Star Trek cereal, Dora the Explorer cereal, Bart Simpson.
There are so many serials.
Yeah.
So many product tie-ins.
It's funny that Star Trek serial is like one of the most recent. It's from the 2009 J.J. Abrams movie. There's also, of course, the Star Wars serial. I think there's a few versions of Star Wars serial. But yeah.
I'm just so sad that Nut and Honey Crunch doesn't exist anymore.
Nut and Honey Crunch.
Yeah, was from that the 90s.
Okay. So it wasn't inspired by any TV show or anything. Like,
No.
It's like a cop show called Nut and Honey. I'm Detective Jim Nutt, and this is my partner, Buster Honey.
It's a porn parody.
Well, I didn't say Buster Nutt. I said Buster Honey. But yeah, so
what's your favorite cereal at the moment?
I'm pretty basic, so I would say Frosted Shredded Wheat.
Frosted Shredded Wheat.
Yeah. I feel like, plus I probably low key have lactose intolerance because every time my poops.
I get on that almond milk game.
I don't like it. Plus it's not milk, it's juice. It's almond juice.
It's spring water with added ingredients, actually.
I classify that as juice. But yeah, like, because every time I eat cereal with regular milk, I get pretty congested and get phlegmy. So Frosted Shredded Wheat is like, acts as a Brillo pad to scrub that phlegm down my throat. So it kind of counteracts the milk. So that's why that's my favorite cereal.
No sway milk?
No. I don't like thin milks. That's the
issue. So the milk is bad for you. It's making you sick, but yet you continue to...
It's not making me sick to the point where it interrupts my function in daily life. It's just that I go a little bit afterwards. But okay. It's still worth it.
Okay. You're making it sound like it was worth it.
I mean, I don't have IBS after... having a bowl of cereal. I just have that normally, but it's just I get congested from milk because I finally got confirmation from a doctor recently, like my one nostril of mine is basically closed, so I need to have that worked on. So like it's not just in my head. He's like, oh, it must be this, because I didn't even tell him. He just looked in there like, oh, this one's very swollen. I'm like, yep, that's the one.
Well, did you ever, did they tell you what the solution was, what the next step?
They wanted to give me these nose drops. I was like, let me stop you right there. I've probably squirted a whole bottle worth of stuff up my nose. It doesn't do anything.
So many chemicals.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, it, number one, it stings in my throat as it goes down, and it's gross as I'm trying to go to sleep, because that's usually when I take that stuff. And number two, it doesn't work. I still snore like a goddamn chainsaw. So
and that was all the that was the only treatment, only suggestion.
Well, and he suggested I go to an ENT doctor. And as a millennial, I don't know what he was talking about. Then I
ears, nose, and throat.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, they used to say the full thing, like ear, nose, and throat doctor. And I was like, how did they decide all those should go together? Like, I guess there's the other holes. Like
the whole head?
Well, I guess just call him a head doctor then. And it would have had...
Then you could get it confused with something else.
I mean...
Urologist.
That's a different head. And plus, a urologist works on men and women. They don't... It's not all about the heads.
They have heads.
Yeah, but not down there. Anyway.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, if hoods have... I mean, I'm not getting into this. If you want to learn about biology, then watch Big Mouth on Netflix. There's a very detailed description of
Big Brother.
I mean, all they're doing is like grabbing and fingering butts on that show, but I don't think you learn that much.
Probing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, People of Earth on TBS. It's a very funny show about aliens and being abducted.
Oh, that was a nice misdirect there.
Transition. Anyway.
When I'm on Xbox, playing my Xbox, I occasionally I will see... occasionally I will see you on there when at the same time, and I noticed that you're playing WWE 2K17.
That's right.
You haven't you don't have Xbox Live yet, and they don't have like the thing where you can play 2K18 yet for free or as a gold member.
No, that's it's just came out, so I'm assuming that won't be for some months now. Plus, I don't like the idea that you have to keep Xbox Live just to play those games.
Exactly. That goes away.
Like, that's a real scam. Like, it's basically the same thing as Gamefly. Just like, oh, you can play it as long as you have this service. But it's like, that's not... I mean...
That's why you gotta own it, like DVDs.
Well... I have even more of an excuse not to rush out and buy the latest game when it costs $60.
And they have like the different editions. Like I know it's not with this one, but with like the Call of Duty
pre-order, games, you get certain
the gold edition, the premium edition, all this shit. God, even the regular one.
One thing that was pointed out to me on his YouTube channel, ETC, they do show like it's gaming. Series, and they're talking about the fact that basically what these game developers do is they make a whole game, then they cut out part of it, and then they sell it to you later as DLC. It's like,
exactly.
Hey, especially WWE, they're like the worst for it now. I mean, I don't play any of these shooters, but I'm sure they're bad with it too. But it's like
you can download the fucking Andre the Giant.
Yeah, the worst thing, like it's even worse when it's like they're a current roster person, like, hey, you can download Samoa Joe. Like, hey, he's
on the
he premiered, he debuted on the roster before this game came out. Like, what the hell? You can buy this alternate attire for this superstar, or you can buy these certain NXT guys in this one batch that costs $20. It was like, okay, so now the game costs $80. Like, that's kind of crazy. That you're spending as much on a game as you are for a system after you buy all of these extra features.
The question I have for you, Zach, is how different is like 2K17 from 2K16 or 2K15 or 2K14?
Well, if you...
is the gameplay any different?
I've seen an article posted. I've seen a few people post it on Facebook. Like, we've basically been playing the same WWE game for like 15 years. So that's not encouraging. That's why whenever I buy it, it's always like at least 6 months after it's like when I can get a used copy for like $20. Like, because like I'm not getting anything new and I'm still like right now.
Why do you keep buying? Why don't you just stick with like the 2K16, why do you get the new version that comes out, even though it's just the old version?
Well, the one thing that does annoy me it's all just a different framing for the same idea. It's planned obsolescence. So they basically cut off your internet access if you're on the game. Like, there's plenty of people still playing these old games, but they can't play together anymore. They can't get online and
no multiplayer on time.
Yeah, so they cut that off at a certain point, and then you're forced into getting a new one, so you can't download any... Like, because basically, if you still had your online access, you could download created characters of all the new roster people you would have had in the new game. But, you know what? They don't want that. So it's like, you know what? AJ Styles has a new outfit. I know this guy who makes perfect renderings of characters, so I'll just download it from him. Like nope, CM not Punk anymore. Yeah, but you can't do that anymore. So I'm assuming my access will be cut for 2K17 soon.
How do you rate the actual like visual graphics of the game? Like, are they any like crazy glitches? Like, does the hair and the faces look like shit? Or
you mean for 2K18? Because I've watched a lot of videos for 2K18,
or even 2K17 that you.
I mean, 2K17 is all right. There's certain characters that look better than others. All of the women look horrible in 2K17.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, the face scans look good, but the eyes are all, like, creepy, glowy eyes, and their hair is just, like,
their
a helmet. And it looks like they have the same problem with 2K17. I think some of the faces look better, from watching the entrances, but the hair still like doesn't move right. Like, I feel like they haven't gotten that right in any WWE game, like, ever. Like, I think there's some games where they had, like, Triple H had good hair, but nobody else did. Yeah, so.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so I don't see a real improvement in that. And there's already, like, glitch videos being put out for 2K18.
Do you buy and play these games for the gameplay or just for the presentation and for the updates, like the entrances, like the build a player, build a wrestler, and all of this stuff? Do you actually get any enjoyment out of the controls?
I enjoy just the mechanics of how, like, they make sense at this point. Because some games, like, there was a certain point where they would change up the gameplay from game to game, and then you had to learn how to do finishers all over again, all that stuff. So the gameplay, to me, makes sense. I've gotten used to it, and I don't really have a problem with it. Sometimes I feel like it's a little slow, but that's like they put stamina in there and stuff like that. So I'm used to that. But my main thing is like I create my character. I give him all the moves that I would do in real life if I were a wrestler, and some that I could never imagine doing in my life. But like I built that up. I tried in this 2K17 to do the whatever career mode as your creator wrestler, but you end up getting into a loop where basically you get to 100% or whatever, and then there's like nothing else happens. So I just switched to the universe mode, and I've just been playing matches as my character, going up against other wrestlers and beating them mercilessly. So that's
did you ever own or play any of the classic N64 games like the WCW versus NWO World Tour.
I love that game. It was funny that for a lot of those, I think they were made by Akai. And for all those WCW games, they would have Akai Man as one of the characters. Just like, they just made their own character in the game. Yeah, I enjoyed a lot of those. And I feel like it's probably like revision.
It sucks history. That there's only, it's only like one like wrestling game.
Yeah, that really sucks because yeah, there used to be the option like you could get WCW versus NWO World Tour, or you could get whatever.
Def Jam.
Yeah, Def Jam Fight for New York or Def Jam Vendetta, and where you can get whatever the WWE game was. And like the really irritating thing is even with the WWE games, there's so many features they took out of the game. Like from the older, very old versions, like in, there was one for GameCube, Day of Reckoning 2. It's the one that has Stacy Keibler on the cover, where you could fight these guys in like this back, like construction area and throw them off of buildings and stuff. Like they've never brought that feature back in any game. And that was like the best because it's like an open world fighting game just with wrestling mechanics. And like I enjoy that. Also, they don't let you like, you can't like throw a character onto another character. And I haven't seen that in several iterations. Like if you do a suplex and somebody's standing behind you, they would also fall because the feet would hit them. Like yeah. None of those like realistic physics. They've just taken that out of the games. And like, why?
It doesn't make any sense because you look at like other video games. And how beautiful they look and how realistic.
Especially other 2K games.
And you look at like how the female characters look in these games with the terrible hair and the fucking dysmorphia.
Yeah, especially when they're like,
there's no excuse for that.
Put more of an emphasis on the women on television. Like you could understand like why Trish Stratus back in the day, they didn't really care about her moveset or her character design. But it's like, hey, Sasha Banks is one of your most popular superstars, period. Mm. You should make sure her hair moves right when she does her entrance in the game. So that's irritating. But yeah, especially other 2K games, because I've seen like the NBA games and other games like that, and they look more realistic. I've seen some gameplay videos like, oh, that looks like a real game. They sweat realistically.
Madden games, like, either.
Yeah. So I don't get it. We're getting the raw end of the deal. I think it, like, I haven't followed it for a while, but I know when they switch from like SmackDown versus Raw into WWE 2K, whatever, they didn't officially, I think those first games weren't actually 2K games because they still had the people from the previous games working on them. So I don't know if they ever made the real switch. Maybe that's when things will get good, because I feel like animations, the main characters, they don't change anything about them. Like John Cena's entrance from this 2K17 game is probably the same one he has in 2K18. And a lot of stuff is just like, they just recycle the same stuff over and over again. And I'm not a fan. That's why I wait and get it on a deep, deep discount later, because I'm still playing what everybody else is playing right now. It's just called 2K17.
So you're not a fan of that, but are you a fan of penis parties, Zach?
No, not at all. I've been invited to quite a few. We called them sausage parties in my day. I was like, hey, where's the girls?
Like, yeah. Woman party.
Yeah.
Well, a teacher in Florida has been fired after she threw a dildo party in a classroom for a former student. Parents were left outraged this week when the dance teacher reportedly held the event at Matter Lakes Academy in Florida. They claimed that the party took place after school on Wednesday and featured rubber penises, penis candles, penis hats, and a cake that had a vagina-shaped lollipop in the middle. The mother of one young girl said that the event was a gathering for the school's dance team. She claims that in videos that surfaced after the party, which you can watch, a boy walks in and is surprised with a hat that had a penis attached to the top. The hat had a string which enabled the phallus to become erect. She said, you can't even imagine, you know? I've raised my daughter the proper way and never taught her anything similar to that. She couldn't sleep last night. She woke up crying. It hurts that she's been taught this at the school where I trust she's going to be taken care of.
Wait, so was this at a high school or where was this?
Guests at the party were reportedly as young as 11 years old.
11? Jesus Christ. Okay. That's
Speaking to 7 News, the school confirmed that the teacher had since been fired, but they refused to release her name. Wow. They said that the number one priority is the safety and well-being of our students and faculty. Once we become aware of the situation, we address it immediately and have taken the appropriate measures, and the individual has been dismissed. Florida.
Yeah, Florida is, that's where that type of stuff happens. So, yeah. I don't...
I've been trying to think, like, what was the objective to, was it just like for sex purposes, or was it like some, was it supposed to be funny or educational? Or?
I don't know. I mean,
it was a gathering for the school's dance team.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a biology teacher throwing this party, or a sex ed teacher. So yeah, I don't know how penises and dancing really tie together. I mean, there's I don't think it was for any kind of educational purpose. It was for entertainment, I assume. But 11 years old, Jesus, that's a crime right there.
Well, speaking of entertainment and penises, this one story, it could be kind of painful for guys to hear. Girlfriend tells of horrifying moment she broke her model boyfriend's member during sex, leaving the bedroom looking like a crime scene with blood everywhere.
Ugh. Oh my God. I don't want to hear anymore.
A woman has told of the terrifying moment she broke her model boyfriend's penis during sex. Megan Barker of Guildford, over in the UK, I assume, and partner Adam Francis were in the middle of business when a harrowing rip sound interrupted their session. This is from the Daily Mirror in the UK. Megan, 23, said the bedroom was left looking like a crime scene as there was blood everywhere. Her traumatized boyfriend, 24, still suffers flashbacks, I bet, to this day, despite having made a full recovery. So that's nice. We're now back to business in the bedroom. We've made a lot of time to make up over the past 6 months. Making tilt the sun. The smitten couple were first introduced to each other through friends in 2013, and she fell in love. Who cares about that? But disaster struck in February 2015 as the couple were enjoying a night of passion. She said, "Adam suddenly maneuvered himself behind me, and I arched my back. And I arched my back and suddenly heard this awful rip. When Megan turned to look at Adam, who let out a gut-wrenching howl, he had turned white and was clutching his groin. The horrified pair quickly realized something was very wrong when blood started gushing from Adam's penis. Adam rushed to the bathroom as the realization that she had broke a man's penis fell on Megan. She immediately dialed 999, the British equivalent of 911.
Tangent really quick.
Kill for it.
Doesn't it make so much more sense for your emergency number to be 999? Like, yes, that's easy to remember. Easier. You don't have
one
to.
One button.
Yeah, you can use one finger and not move it. And it's much more convenient, I'm sure. You could probably save a bunch of lives.
Especially when your penis is falling off.
Yeah, I can't think of other numbers when I'm bleeding from the crotch.
I can't think at all. She dialed 999 after entering the blood-splattered bathroom and seeing Adam lying on the floor. When paramedics arrived, Megan said she was too embarrassed to say what had actually happened, instead fibbing that Adam had run into a door. For the next 2 months, Adam said he was in absolute agony. It is indescribable to add that. I am not very good with blood, so that was what sent me over the edge. I was completely freaking out. According to osteopath Stephen McKindy, clinical director of the Perfect Balance Clinic in London, the number of sex-related injuries is rocketing. He believed that more and more couples are having adventurous sex is to blame.
Yeah, like stop doing that, I guess. It's a lesson to be learned. I want to really quickly transition away from that. Here's a slight segue from this story. If you look at the bottom of this news story on dailymail.co.uk, you may have different clickbait articles than I have, but two of the interesting ones that I see, I'm not going to click on these because it's probably going to pop up all kinds of weird stuff, but 17 actors you didn't know were gay. Number 8 will shock women.
George Clooney.
That's a good clickbait article. And another one, which speaks directly to me, is 10 worst college majors for the current job market. I'm going to guess that radio is probably right in there somewhere. But, yeah, this is just interesting clickbaity things. They may be following my cookies to put that one on my screen, because that sounds like something that was tailor-made.
They know what you like.
Or they know what I hate. They know my existence is sad. But at least not as sad as somebody with a ripped penis. That sounds awful.
Well, speaking of ripped penises, you mentioned at the beginning of TLC, Triple H is going to be filling in for he's just gonna be wrestling because they lost so much star power, right?
Yeah, well, that I think the Triple H thing is at another event, isn't it?
Because Styles is they're taking him from SmackDown, and Kevin Owens is out with family issues, so he's gonna be on the tour, tour.
I didn't know Kevin Owens is leaving the road too. Man, they really have they're going to have a drought on television this coming week.
How do you feel about them giving away Kurt Angle's comeback?
It's completely makes no sense. Like, on one hand, it makes no sense at all. But, like, storyline-wise, it kind of makes sense. Because, like, well, Kurt Angle was such a dumbass general manager that he allowed a team to be in a 5-on-3 handicap match. So when one of those people can't participate, it's like a captain going down with the ship. He's like, well, I guess I'll step in. I'm the reason you're in this mess to begin with. So I guess.
But he's supposed to be objective. He's the general manager of the brand, and he's wrestling against the heels on the babyface
I mean, if you wanted to be objective, like, it would be even less objective if he joined the heel team, wouldn't you think? Like, okay, let's make this 6-on-2.
But like, it doesn't make any sense, period.
What would have been even, it would have been interesting if Bo Dallas, like you would have assumed, was actually on this team, and they would have had to remove one person from each side. But instead, they still have five healthy people on one side, and Roman got meningitis, so the Shield reunion has been postponed, and now we get an unexpected return from Kurt Angle. So it's a weird thing to do without any buildup on television, for sure.
It's made it a more interesting part.
Yes, yeah, definitely more interesting main event. I still don't think it should have been 5-on-3. Like, even as the Shield, that part of it seems stupid. Even 5-on-4, I was like, all right, this is unnecessary. Because you've built up Braun so much where it's like they could have all taken him on. It would have been a marquee match, just 3-on-1 handicap match. And you put him as an extra person in here. And then you add another extra person in Kane, who nobody wanted to see come back.
I think the whole Shield reunion, it smacks of so much like desperation. And just
yeah.
They really want Roman Reigns to be the guy. And
yeah, but now he's the guy with meningitis. There's that. And then also what doesn't make sense is AJ Styles just jumping to Raw to face.
Oh, yeah, we only see it. It only happened once a year at Summer at the...
Well, no, they were saying, yeah, Survivor Series is the only place where you're going to get interpromotional matches, except for this in this emergency situation. Like, they could have brought Jinder Mahal over, because this was going to be a bathroom match anyway with Bray Wyatt involved, because nobody's going to care about him in drag facing off against Finn Balor for the fifth time.
Raw to do their promos. It was just horrible. It's like, yeah. I don't want to look at this.
Yeah, and the fact that they were going to actually have him wrestle as Sister Abigail, like, it's not just like Sister Abigail is an element that's going to interfere in this match. Like, no, he's going to put on like a black wedding dress or something with a veil. Who knows what it would have been. And maybe he doesn't actually have meningitis. Maybe this was an excuse to get out of this horrible angle. And hopefully they'd never come back to
that'd him. Be pretty ingenious of him.
That would be perfect if they were just like, hey, by the way, Sister Abigail is dead again because Bray Wyatt had gotten a disease. My question with this, like, it's going to be a good match between Finn Balor and AJ Styles, but is Finn Balor going to still be the demon? Because he was all hyped up to be pumpkin-faced demon man tonight. But, like, does he need the demon to face it off against AJ Styles?
Against your, well, he's not the U.S. champion. The fucking Baron Corbin is.
Yeah.
This is just
Baron Corbin, who should not be U.S. champ. Like, and it's weird to take AJ Styles away from the house that AJ Styles built. They really built that up, so it was a thing, and people chanted it along with him. And they're like, yeah, you know what? He's not on the show anymore. It's like removing The Rock from SmackDown, which was the show he created, and he eventually did do that, but still.
Why do you keep watching WWE wrestling? Why don't you watch like Ring of Honor or New Japan or go to any of the much more entertaining indie shows?
If they were more readily available, I would watch them. And from what I've heard, like, nobody's watching Ring of Honor, and I've seen clips. Cody as Ring of Honor champion with a literal Ring of Honor on his finger. That doesn't sound as, like, super clever and as a great alternative to WWE programming. Hey, former WWE jobber and sometimes U.S. Open Challenge competitor, Cody Rhodes is now your champion. That doesn't make a company look that great. I like when they have homegrown talent. Like, hey, this is the only place in the world you could see this person.
Young Bucks.
Not even the Young Bucks. They are a forced meme, in my opinion, and I'm tired. Like, even as somebody who doesn't watch independent wrestling that closely, I'm already, like, tired of the Young Bucks and their double super
Kenny
kicks.
Omega.
I don't know anything about Kenny Omega except for the fact that he supposedly had the greatest match of ever against Okada, and then some people say that's slightly overhyped.
Why haven't you seen it?
I have it in my queue on YouTube, which has probably been taken down by the time I get ready to watch it.
Like every recent episode of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, I also watch them on 2x speed. So if you give me that option, I'll watch anything. So a lot of stuff. Like I watch a 3-hour episode of Raw in about an hour and a half or less, depending on what they're trying to force down my eyeball. Like, are you partaking in any other companies that you can recommend to me?
I mean, the What Culture now they're called the
Defiant Wrestling.
Defiant Wrestling.
Because they're not actually, like, the people from What Culture that made it
the four guys
what it was,
they
just left. So, all right, there you go. So that's already falling apart. They are living up to their former initials, part of their former initials, WCW, as WCPW. Now, none of those.
No.
I mean, I've looked out into the ether to find other wrestling, stumbled upon Global Force / TNA / Impact Jesus. Wrestling, and it was like, oh, you know what? I'm not gonna watch this. I'm lost, and I don't. This doesn't.
I would say right now, probably the most entertaining wrestling is probably NXT.
Yeah, that's a WWE product. I mean, I've peeked in from time to time on the network.
I've been watching it more often because it's only like an hour long and it's on, you know, it's on the network.
Yeah, the shorter the show, the better. That's the trick. Like,
there's less crap. Just get to damn wrestling.
Yeah, I feel like I know they get more advertising dollars and all that for having that extra hour of Raw, but they've clearly conceded the fact that nobody watches it. And they're like having Enzo be the technical main event of the show like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. Because like, hey, people are watching sports right now, so we don't care about the ratings for this last hour. Like, that's not a way to run a show. It's like some people are going to watch it on demand later and the show's not going to make sense. Like, why does it not have a main event? But whatever. I've always been interested in looking out for other wrestling. Like, I hear good things about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I need to find a way to watch it, and then I'll be entertained. I used to watch Chikara pretty regularly, but they decided to end the entire promotion for like a year because of an angle, which sounds like the dumbest, most all-in stupid investment you could ever make as a company. Like,
it's horrible.
Like if I win this match, this entire company goes out of business, and then they legit just shut their doors for a while.
I think it was a shoot.
Yeah, but I mean, it's back now. I think, I don't know, but I used to watch, like, one of the first podcasts I ever subscribed to on iTunes was Chikara Podcast Agogo. Which was a video podcast with just like clips of matches from Chikara. But yeah, I had to find my new independent company that I can follow, because I don't know if I need more wrestling in my life, but I need different wrestling.
Yeah, you have to subtract the WWE and find something better.
Yeah, that may be a good choice. I wish the WWE Network went along the lines of what was speculated in the beginning, like they were just going to be the wrestling network and actually have like other companies like pay for time. Like, if you go watch Ring of Honor, there's this another company called Flow Slam, which I think actually costs more than the WWE Network, but it has like all the different independent companies on there, which sounds interesting to me, but familiarity is still a barrier there for me.
Yeah, I don't think that WWE has any advantage over the indies now in terms of like exposure, simply because of like nobody's watching the TV shows or the networks.
Yeah,
and like
the
you
internet
can become,
is where everyone's going anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You can have like a big social media presence and just have your own streaming service.
Yeah, because like everybody has heard of like PWG. They know something about like Evolve and these other companies. So
Japan.
Yeah. So it's that's enough exposure. I need the links. So I'll be looking out for that in my usual places. Reddit may have some assistance for me.
Well, there's a wrestling talk, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And that usually marks the end of the podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
No, sir.
All right, let people know where they can tweet you their links of great matches from the indies.
My Twitter is at Anthony Hoffman. You can find me on Facebook, Anthony Hoffman. Or you can find me on Instagram at Tony Hoffman Chai. That's Tony Hoffman, C-H-I-Chai.
And I'm on Twitter at Zach Reviews. That's Z-A-C Reviews. I am on YouTube at youtube.com/Zach Hughes. That's Z-A-C-H-U-G-H-E-S. That's also where you can find the video version of this podcast. You can find the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can tweet us as a show collectively at twitter.com/frustratedgrad. Yeah. So with that, I will say, if you enjoyed the show, go to iTunes or Google Play Podcasts and give us the highest rating that they will allow. And if you really like the show, go to frustratedgrad.com and donate by clicking the PayPal button. Donate whatever you want, 50 cents, $1, who cares? Anyway, that's it for the video version of the podcast. If you're listening to the audio, there's a little bit more coming up. But for video watchers, thanks for watching, and that's all you get for today. All right, now it's just you and me, audio listener. It's bonus time. All right. So what are we going to call this podcast?
Nut and Honey.
Nut apostrophe in honey. Nut and honey. Or nut and honey. N-U-T-T-I-N apostrophe honey.
Blood gushing. Gushing.
Blood and honey. Nut and blood. Okay. Broke boyfriend's penis. I like how it was all caps. WWE games. Kotaku. Walking Dead. Shitty movies. Strawberry Sniggles.
Cereals.
Cereal. Yeah, cereal is a good theme to go with. Okay, so what do we say about cereal? There's a prize inside. Dot, dot, dot. Let me see.
Captain Crunch.
Just stick with Captain Crunch. Shitty cereals. Or, to switch up a term from one of my favorite shows, Big Brother UK, basic cereal for basic bitches. Let's
see. Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah, I feel like that works. Because we're doing this early in the morning. If we were able to stream live, somebody could have been eating breakfast as they were listening to this, but they can't. They could listen to it tomorrow while they eat breakfast, but whatever. So let's call it Breakfast of Champions. You can tweet at us with the hashtag Breakfast of Champions, or if you want to hashtag Broken Penis or Penis Party or Nobody's Going to Eat My Strawberry Sniggles, you can tweet whatever you want at Frustrated Grad. And with that, I will say that's it for this episode of the Frustrated Grad podcast. Be safe, don't break your penis, and keep on rocking in the free world.